सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति। Chant verses 40 to 44, chapter 6. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Pata Nevaihana Mutra, Vinashastasya Vidyate, Vinashastasya Vidyate, Nahi Kalyana Kritkasche, नहि कल्याणकृत् कश्चित् दुर्गतिं तात गच्छति दुर्गतिं तात गच्छति। श्री भगवानुवाच पात नैवेहनामुत्र विनाशस्तस्य विद्यते नहि कल्याणकृत् कश्चित् दुर्गतिं तात गच्छति। प्राप्य पुण्यकृतां लोकान् प्राप्य पुण्यकृतां लोकान् उषित्वा शाश्वती समाः उषित्वा शाश्वती समाः। शुचीनां श्रीमतां गेहे शुचीनां श्रीमतां गेहे योगभ्रष्टोऽभिजायते योगभ्रष्टोऽभिजायते। प्राप्य पुण्यकृतां लोकान् उषित्वा शाश्वती समाः शुचीनां श्रीमतां गेहे योगभ्रष्टोऽभिजायते। अथवा योगिनामेव अथवा योगिनामेव कुले भवति धीमतां कुले भवति धीमतां। एतद्धि दुर्लभतरम् एतद्धि दुर्लभतरम् लोके जन्म यदीदृशम् लोके जन्म यदीदृशम्। अथवा योगिनामेव कुले भवति धीमतां एतद्धि दुर्लभतरम् लोके जन्म यदीदृशम्। तत्र संबुद्धिसंयोगम् तत्र संबुद्धिसंयोगम् लभते पौर्वदेहिकम् लभते पौर्वदेहिकम्। यतते च ततो भूयः यतते च ततो भूयः संसिद्धौ कुरु नन्दन संसिद्धौ कुरु नन्दन। तत्र संबुद्धिसंयोगम् लभते पौर्वदेहिकम् यतते च ततो भूयः संसिद्धौ कुरु नन्दन। पूर्वाभ्यासेन तेनैव पूर्वाभ्यासेन तेनैव क्रियते ह्यवशोऽपि सः क्रियते ह्यवशोऽपि सः। जिज्ञासुरपि योगस्य जिज्ञासुरपि योगस्य शब्दब्रह्माति वर्तते शब्दब्रह्माति वर्तते। पूर्वाभ्यासेन तेनैव क्रियते ह्यवशोऽपि सः जिज्ञासुरपि योगस्य शब्दब्रह्माति वर्तते। Arjuna asked Lord Krishna after he in detail spoke about the preparatory steps for meditation and actual meditation and the fruit of meditation etc. Arjuna questioned the Lord, this stability of mind that you are talking about, I don't think so how it can be achieved. Even if it can be achieved, how long will it continue to be stable? I am not able to conceive that. How is it that one can bring the mind to real balance or stability? That is what he is asking. He puts forth the doubt because the nature of the mind, he says, is restless. Then chanchalam pramati. Chanchalam means restless. Pramati means turbulent. And then balam, it's strong. and Gadapra means it is very obstinate. Such a mind, how can I bring it to calmness, you know, stability? Then Lord Krishna says, it is doubtless that what you say is right, but still, through Abhyasa and Vairagya, one can achieve this. And what Abhyasa? Viveka Abhyasa, I told you. Abhyasena to Vairagyena. Abhyasena means Viveka. What is Viveka? Nitya, Anitya, Viveka, Vicharam. That is Viveka. Discriminating between what is real, what is unreal. Now, this discrimination of what is real, what is unreal, when we are engaging ourselves in the world, and that will become better and better provided we do the other sadhanas also. Your Viveka Abhyasa you will be able to do better provided you do yoga, hatha yoga, pranayama, then you keep to sattvic diet, then you keep to satsanga, people who relish to talk about those things and discuss those things all the time, and also bhakti yoga, also karma yoga. When you do all this, then you will be qualified to study, meaning you will be available to receive the knowledge, and when you study, do jnana yoga, slowly slowly your buddhi will become clearer and better. With that you will be able to see through the temptations of the world. You can clearly see that all these are something that come and go. Matras parshastu kamdeya sitoshna sukha dukkha raha agama payinaha anityaha tam titikshatsva bharata. Verse number 14, chapter 2, Lord Krishna said, all joy that comes when you contact, the pleasures that are born out of sense contact are what? Something that comes and goes. Agama payinaha anityaha. They are all anitya, not nitya. It's not something will be there all the time. Anityaha. Therefore what one should do? One should endure. So while you contact the world, if you use all this knowledge and when you look at what you are contacting, you will not get overpowered by the experience. Even through the experience, you will be able to see that this is only temporary, passing, fleeting. Pleasure comes, but not to stay. What is fame but a slow decay? Even this shall pass away. Mortal flesh must come to clay. Even this shall pass away. So while the king of Persia experiencing wealth, wealth comes from underground everywhere, he says in the poem. He is experiencing wealth. It's not that he is philosophizing because he doesn't have wealth. Usually that is the story. When you are unsuccessful, you start philosophizing. When things doesn't come, what is happening? That is a lot of people think once you go to philosophy. In fact, my manager asked me, you know, when I said I'm quitting and joining the ashram when I was 21, he quietly took me aside and said, any love failure or something? I said, what protection? No, I followed his love now. Now only I started falling in love with Vedanta, you know. Because usually they think you become philosophizer. Usually in movie also you see, you know, all philosophy songs come when plus lost, you know, so like that. So that is not it, you know, he is experiencing wealth, he is experiencing pleasure, he is experiencing fame, pain, everything as he is going through, he summarizes by saying, even this shall pass. You are not lecturing. The proof is he did not tell his wife. Woman fairer ever seen was the bride he crowned as queen, pillow on the marriage bed, whispering to his soul, he said, he didn't tell her, he told himself, whispering to his soul, he said, mortal flesh must come to clay, even this shall pass. So like that, you will be able to see when you are equipped with Viveka. You know, a fellow should be prepared. And once you are prepared, you are a philosopher. If you are not prepared, you become pessimistic. philosophy is never pessimistic. You understand? Life is something that comes and full of things that will come and go. Therefore, he will continue. He will not get bogged down by it. I gave you the example of 1,000 rupee note or 500 rupee note when it flow flash to the audience. Whatever he did with it, still the audience wanted it. First, when the 1,000 rupee note was new, they all said, yes, we want it. When he asked, how many of you want it? Then he crumbled it, still they said, we want it. Stamped on it, made it dirty, still people wanted it. So whatever may happen to you, your value should not reduce. And that will happen if you have Viveka. And that with that Viveka, when you experience the world, Vairagya will be born. With this Vairagya, your mind becomes stable. That's all Lord Krishna said. When he said that, you have to do sadhana. That's what it means, right? It means you have to do all the yogas. Your life should become yogic. Don't have to give up life and go. In life, you have to be yogic. Then Arjuna said, if I start pursuing this, which means I take time off from material contacts, isn't it? I'm not going to be with my other friends. I'm going to be sitting and studying, doing yoga and all that. So then I'm going to lose out on the contacts and all that, the pleasures of the world. Then I'm going to pursue something higher. Supposing in between, before I can achieve that goal, I perish. Neither I would have experienced the world, nor I am here achieved the goal of centralization. Would I not be like that rent cloud which has taken little portion that has separated itself from the total, that is washed away by the wind? Will I not perish like that? That's the question Arjuna asks. Usually this doubt comes. That is why we don't even start. Like I said, the guarantee is not there. There is no guarantee. And secondly, if one shore is unreal, the other shore also is unreal. It is not as if this shore is unreal and the other shore is real. Either both shores are unreal or both shores are real. So when he says this is unreal, there is nothing that you can achieve in the world. Centralization is not something that you will achieve in the world. It is something that you have to rise beyond the world. So if you start putting in more and more effort, that very ego that puts in the effort becomes an obstacle in realization. Please understand this. Self-realization is not something that you will achieve. When the individuality dissolves, the self that has always been there becomes evident. That's about it. So the more you try to sleep, the more you cannot sleep. Somebody in the ashram, when he joined, he couldn't go to sleep that quickly, you know. So change of place, sometimes people cannot sleep. That fellow was told, count sheep. And he said, I'm counting in millions. So sleep is still not come, you know. So in other words, the more you are obsessed with sleep, the less you go to sleep. Similarly, the more you are obsessed with the goal of realization also, you will not get it. So even when you do sadhana, you can't become obsessed about it. The way to gain anything is to lose it. That's one of the most fabulous statements made by Swami Ramatirtha. The way to gain anything is to lose it. If you have obsession, you will not get it. So as a sadhak, maybe I tried too much, but ego, I instead of dropping the ego and putting the effort tremendously, I must get there. That itself may prevent. So whatever happens, I'm not yet realized. And in between, supposing I die, what happens to me? This is the question Arjuna asked. In 37, 38, 39, I'm just reading the translation for you. 37 says, Arjuna said, the uncontrolled who possesses Shraddha, whose mind wanders away from yoga, failing to attain perfection in yoga, what end, O Krishna, does he meet? fallen from both, meaning the material and spiritual surface, does he not perish like a rent cloud, O Mahabaha? Supportless and deluded in the path of Brahman, this doubt of mine, O Krishna, you should dispel completely, for there is none other than you to dispel this doubt. In other words, again, Swami Ramtita says, you can't serve God as well as Mammon together. Either God or the world. You cannot serve both. But we want this also, we want that also. That is not possible. You got a clean draw. You remember that story in Bhagavatam, where Krishna had told the gopis, when they were taking bath, he had taken away their clothes and he was sitting on top of the tree. And when the gopis were asking, give us the clothes, he said, I will not give, you got to completely come out naked in front of me, then I'll give you the clothes. This is highly criticized again. But what he is trying to tell is, you got to clean, drop your attachments to the world. Otherwise, you are not going to get the Atma. Impossible. You want to get attached to the world also and get self also, not worse. You got to clean, drop your attachments to the world. That is what it is symbolically talking about, that story. So, unless and until you give up those attachments, you are not going to get it. But as long as you have some doubt, maybe if I don't achieve, at least let me enjoy these things. Like you have this habit of delegating, you say, this life I have delegated for material indulgence, next life for spiritual emancipation. So this doubt, he says, please clarify. And now Lord Krishna answers one of the most fabulous verses. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Pata Naiveha Namutra, Vinashastasya Vidyate, Nahi Kalyana Kritkasche, Durgatim Tata Gacchate, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Pata Naiveha Namutra, Vinashastasya Vidyate, Nahi Kalyana Kritkasche, Durgatim Tata Gacchate. This construction, this phrase, you must try and memorize. It's not very difficult. Nahi Kalyana Krit Kashchit Durgatin Tata Gacchati. The second line of this verse. Possible the whole verse, otherwise at least the second line. Nahi Kalyana Krit Kashchit Durgatin Tata Gacchati. Arjuna's question was, what will happen to such a fellow? Right? Who has plunged into spiritual practice and therefore did not experience the latest products of the world also. And he did not realize the self, but he died. What happens to him? For which Lord Krishna says, O Partha, O Arjuna, neither here nor even hereafter is there destruction for him. You can interpret this in two ways. This can be taken for anybody for that matter. Anybody, for anyone, there is no destruction. Because essentially you are Atma, and Atma, the consciousness, doesn't destroy, doesn't get destroyed. There is no destruction for Atma. From the Atma point of view, nobody has destruction. All the more, a fellow who does good karma. So he says, verily none who does good, nahi kalyana krit kashchit. Even if there is one person who does good, he says, O beloved, he doesn't come to grief. Durgati. He doesn't have any durgati. Durgati tata gacchati. O beloved Arjuna, he never comes to grief. What do you understand from this? Swami Ramtirtha, again, one of the most fabulous statements he made is, bhakti, true bhakti, is faith in good rather than faith in God. It's an outstanding statement. True bhakti is faith in good rather than faith in God. Pure consciousness has no destruction. Please understand, this entire universe is a play of Prakriti and Purusha. 13th chapter will talk about it in detail. Kshetra, Kshetrajna, Vibhaga, Yoga. In that he talks about Kshetra, Kshetrajna, Purusha, Prakriti and all that. All of us are nothing but the play between Prakriti and Purusha. Prakriti and Purusha combined in one form is you, one form is me, one form is all of us. And when Prakriti and Purusha has come together, the thoughts have risen. And we are all nothing but bundle of thoughts, the mind. What we need to understand is, it is not the result of the action. It is the very action. It is not even the very action, the very thought. Kalyana Krit means, here it is not just action, thought. You understand? A positive action, meaning a positive thought. Grenadian's funeral, thrown a poem by Robert Browning, says, that low man seeks little things to do, sees it and does it. This high man, with great things to pursue, dies ere he knows it. That low man goes on adding one to one, his hundreds soon hit. This high man aims at a million and misses a unit. Again, very nice, fabulous poem. That low man, low thinking people, who can't think beyond themselves, nothing beyond themselves, such people, that low man, sees little things to do, sees it and does it. Selfish action he will do, and he will reap his results. This high man, with a purpose, with a higher purpose, higher goal, such a person, with great things to pursue, higher goal in mind, dies ere he knows it. He might not have achieved the fruit, he might have died before it, before the fruit fructifies. All of us are living this life of independence in this country. It is a diksha given to us by the freedom fighters, people like Bhagat Singh. You understand? That guy rose up to the occasion and fought for this country's freedom and purposely got caught, so that lot more youngsters could come for the freedom struggle. And such people, having put in their struggle, they did not live through the times when India got freedom. I think Bhagat Singh was something like 21 or 22, around that age. Can you imagine? Willingly getting caught just for the nation's sake, rising about once, that's what he's saying, with great things to pursue, dies ere he knows it. It's only the weak people who are result-oriented. Strong people are never bothered about results. They just go about sowing the seed because they know that seed is sowing is important. Please understand this. So with great things to pursue, this high man, with great things to pursue, dies ere he knows it. That low man goes on adding one to one, his hundreds soon hit. He's bought this car, he's bought that bungalow, he's started one more industry. This low man, goes on adding one to one, his hundreds soon hit. That high man aims at a million, misses a unit. This is what he's talking about, Arjuna. I'm aiming at self-realization and I may miss this unit of the worldly enjoyment also. Isn't it? Bhagat Singh did not live through to see the Indian independence. He did not breathe this independent air of India. But neither did he enjoy the pleasures. If only he like kind of... why is it nobody sitting there? Is it some... because she also came and sat there. I thought probably it's reserved for somebody. So, you know, they all were strong people. They just put themselves in struggle. Such a person who does such an action will never come to grief. This is not to be taken as just good action, even good thought. See, when you do something wrong, if you actually did that wrong, then probably the courts will come into play and you may be imprisoned. But even if you encourage negative thought in the court of totality, you will face. Why? What you need to understand is, thought create destiny. Thought create your destiny. Please understand this. Nobody is sitting up the cloud and creating your destiny. Swami Ramakrishna says, if there is a fellow sitting up the cloud, poor fellow will catch cold easily. There's nobody sitting there to write your kismat. Kundli. Your own thoughts create your destiny. Thoughts become words. From thoughts arise words. From words arise actions. From actions arise habits. From habits arise character. From characters arise destiny. Your destiny is chiseled by your own thoughts. What goes around comes around. If you sow positive thought, it will not go away. That is what Swami Ramakrishna says. Faith in good is bhakti rather than faith in God. Every day morning you pray to God, you salute Indian national flag, hoist Indian national flag, salute Indian national flag every day, all anti-national activity you do throughout the day, smuggling. What kind of this is this? Bhakti is this? Whether you hoist Indian national flag or you don't hoist Indian national flag doesn't matter. Right? So bhakti means faith in good rather than faith in God. So he says, Nahi kalyana krit kaschit durgatim satakachati. Because you understand that this universe is governed by laws and laws and laws, nothing else. This entire universe is governed by laws. The law is what goes around comes around. If you sow one negative thought, you will reap negative. If you sow positive, you will reap positive. It is a law. Nobody can change it. The only problem is there is a time gap in between. You are not able to understand that. You go on top of the mountain and then shout, Hari Om. You will get the echo, Hari Om. If you say, you idiot, it will say, you are, you idiot. So if you understand this, you are not bothered about the result. Because Nahi kalyana krit kaschit durgatim tatakachit. You know, a gentleman asked me in Dubai, you guys have come away like this, just like that, and you are lecturing, doing this. You're not having any, what do you call that, guarantee, no? Guarantee. Suppose you are working in the government, period is there, even if you take voluntary retirement, pension, etc., social security, what they call in your Nothing in. How do you plunge? He said, read verse 40, chapter 6. Nahi kalyana krit kashit durgatin tata kashit. But when he talks about kalyana krit, what is that kalyana krit? It is not desire ridden, egoistic, good action per se. You must understand what he is talking about as kalyana krit. Kalyana krit means dissolving one's individual desire and doing activities which is in the interest of everybody. Loka sangraha. And you do any action which is in the interest of the total. Where your ego was completely dissolved. That is kalyana krit. It becomes kalyana krit because that action is done by God through you. This kalyana krit. About 10 days ago, in the other class, we all watched that movie, Invictus. Fascinating movie, right? Nelson Mandela story. And those guys can really act. They are two good actors. Morgan Freeman and Matt Stem. The way they acted and the way whole movie was presented, fascinating. He sowed the seed of forgiveness. Understand? So when you say faith in good, what it means is faith in values and not valuables. We will be coming to Bhagavad Gita class, but our faith will be in valuables, not necessarily in the values. If you understood Gita, then your faith should be in the values, not in the valuables, the so-called valuables. Faith in good means faith in forgiveness, not in revenge. Faith in giving, not in taking. Right? Faith in doing, not in the result. That is what he means by kalyana krit. In the interest of everybody, it has to be done. Mischief thou art afoot, take thou what course thou wilt, says Mark Antony. After he spoke, brilliantly he speaks and explains to the mass what wrong Caesar has been done. And finally he says, mischief thou art afoot, take thou what course thou wilt. What has to be done by me, I did. I took that step. Now what course it takes, let it take. That is called kalyana krit. After speaking eloquently to Arjuna, explaining so brilliantly, scientifically, logically, finally you know what Lord Krishna says? Yata ishyasi tata tu. You do what you like. He does. Let it take what course it wants. Test kalyana krit. I believe I know that how it works. That's how it works. So he says, anybody who does good, anybody who sown this seed will not worry, need not worry, will not come to grief. But if you are dreaming about sowing the seed, even dreaming about the sowing the seed will have some effect. If it is good or bad, doesn't matter. Even if you dreamt doing some good, maybe you actually did or not, to that extent some good will happen to you. Right? So what the masters tell us is, even if you don't do good, be supportive of those who do good. Even that will give you some benefit. Not because you want the benefit. That will help you. Even a thought to help somebody. might not have actually gone and helped, because before you could help somebody else. The other day I was at the signal somewhere. I saw a man was crossing. He was crossing so fast, and suddenly he saw a blind man. He's actually a beggar there, but struggling to cross, you know. He's a blind man. He was going so fast, the other fellow, but quickly when he saw him, immediately he stopped, came back, held that fellow and helped him to cross the road. He's not doing for any benefit or anything. The way he was running around, it looked like he was going for some important work. Thought. The moment you develop half that thought, I'm doing something good, you have no idea how the nature repays. The bounties of nature one cannot really repay. One cannot compete with nature. Just take that positive. You have tied your boat to the shore, says Swami Ramakrishna Paramahamsa. You don't want to loosen it. Just loosen the rope, let the boat go into the ocean. The winds will take care, it will reach. Do not want to leave it there. That is Kalyanaka. I'm talking about Kalyanaka. Because he has certain ideas about what is good action. Anything that is in the interest of total is good. And that also you do without an iota of ego. So such a person who does good, Kalyanakrit, never comes to suffer. Impossible. You got to give yourself examples from your own life, from the past. You wonder how the whole thing works, you know. It's incredible. You read the life stories of so many masters, Ramatirtha, Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, Vivekananda, how that works. When Ramatirtha lectured in America, somebody transcribed, you know, his lectures, and when he was about to come back, when he was in the ship, they gave him back and said, please publish it. He threw it in the ocean. He said, Vedanta doesn't require Ramatirtha and it will never get lost. Somebody will take it forward. It will continue. It's going on. Chinmananda ji just went, before he was Chinmananda, I forget his name, some Nayar, I think. He's from Kerala. He wanted to expose the fake sannyasis. For that he went to Rishikesh. You understand? When he met Sivananda, he became his disciple. And Sivananda sent him to Tapovan Maharaj. And first time when he went, he said, if you want to learn this philosophy, go to Tapovan Maharaj. And after so many years of tapas with Sivananda, he'll reach you. He went from Rishikesh, he went to Uttarkashi. Those days, you understand, by either by paidal or by Belgadi, I don't know how all he managed. After so many days, when he reached Uttarkashi, Tapovan Maharaj said, "Acha, Sivananda sent you. You got any letter?" "No letter. Nothing." "If better, you get a letter. It will be better if you get a letter." They are just testing the caliber of the student. "Better you get a letter." He went back, got the letter, went back to Tapovan and then studied. From Himalayas he just came down. Some street corner I heard that he lectured first. Man of dynamism. There's some street corner lecture and from where to where. Our Swamiji studied in Chinmananda. Nanandji studied. So many people. The whole thing is spreading. No, nothing good will come to
destruction.
You must have that faith. Today, if you talk about these things, nobody will listen to you. Ethical values. Nobody believes in good. Nobody believes in system. You've lost that faith. You think crooked things will get you there. It can never get you there. Kalyana krit kasht durkatin tamagachit. So that is what this verse is saying. Arjuna, don't even worry, man. If you have taken one step, it will continue. You will never be left alone. You talk about ethics. What is ethics? Business ethics or for the matter any ethics. This is it. Because what you sow, you reap. If I understand what I sow, I reap. Will I want to sow negative? So why are people doing negative things? Ignorance. Nothing but ignorance. So how you can function better by reflecting on these kind of verses, what they are trying to say. How? By your own example in your own life. Just one thought of doing something good takes you places. Sometimes your friend would have taken you to an ashram and reluctantly you went just to please him. You are not interested. He says he claims himself to be a great devotee. He took you to that ashram. But he did not join there as a student, you joined. Many times it happens like it is because of the past force. Nothing happens without that force, which is going to talk about later. So that bhakti is faith in good rather than faith. That kalyanakrit. So what is kalyanam? What is the good action that he is talking about? When the actor is dead and the action alone is, that is good action. No matter what that action is. Why any painting or anything like that is no cost attached to it? Because when that painting was done, the painter wasn't there. It is creativity. Literally the inspirational painting it is. Isn't it? And a poet, like Daffodils, brilliant poem by William Wordsworth. He writes, he says, I was in between the daffodils. I became one with the daffodils. The poet merges with the nature and the poetry flows through him. In such poetry, nobody can attach a cost to it. Somebody asked Swami Dayananda, why don't you charge for your lectures? You know, the Gita lectures. He said, because you can't afford it. It is a fact. You can't, who's to put a cost to it? Because Vedas are a foundation. It is not something that has come through human effort. When an individual dissolved his ego, God spoke to him or her. That is Veda. That is Quran. That is Bible. You understand? It is God speaking as it were. It's not human effort. When you see, when you go to hear some classical singer performing, and the singer gets into that inspiration, she brings out some unbelievable variations, right? Which on the stage she brought it. not that she practiced it and she thought that in on this stage I will bring out this. No. It's very interesting. Sometimes you sit and talk, suddenly a point comes. It is not something that has come because of your effort. Are you with me? You dissolve the ego, it comes to you. That is creativity. For such paintings, nobody can put a cost. That is why some of the cricketers and all the sports people, you know, bat and all that is auctioned. Nobody can put a cost to it. A fellow dissolved himself in the interest of the country and performed. He wasn't there. What inspired him? When you work for a higher cause, from where you get that energy, you have no idea. Suddenly. Now, I've been to Chitubari many years ago, and they showed me the room where Swami Chinmananda used to be there. And they said he used to go to sleep at 12 o'clock and get up at 3 o'clock in the morning. There's 3 hours of sleep, not because he is not able to sleep. From where do they get energy? When you surrender to a higher cause, energy flows. When you become selfish, no energy. As simple as that. Work selfishly, no energy, and you don't get cooperation from others also. You have a point. When you surrender and work, you don't bother about the results also. You just work. You couldn't care less. Many a times what happens is, somebody puts in the effort and somebody reaps the result, as it were. Like when I joined, before joining Ashram, I was working for a while. So when I joined that company, where I worked, you know, I was in marketing. So the year end, you have to meet with your target and all that stuff, right? So I've collected few checks, but I had not done any work for that. The guy who was before me had done all the work, just little bit. But I collected the checks and I was being praised for it. I still remember. Like that, you put in the efforts and you may die. Apparently somebody else may reap. Isn't it? Usually even the business, the first generation fellow who started, he didn't reap the benefit that much. Second generation, little more. Third generation fellows enjoy. And they say after seventh generation, usually it doesn't last. In fact, you can say about third, fourth generation it starts getting destroyed. Nahi kalyana krit kashyat durgatim kahata gachyat. So therefore he says, if you dissolve your ego and just focus in the action and go about doing it, be rest assured that you will not come to grief. Meaning, the effort will not go waste. No energy will go waste. So even if you think negatively for that matter, some negative thought you had developed against anybody. That is why we say when you pray, genuinely pray for the forgiveness. Pray for the welfare of everybody also. If somebody else did something negative, he will reap the result. Why do you have to worry about it? By criticizing him or her, you are sowing the negative seed for yourself. Isn't it? If he has chili, he should get stomachache. Why are you suffering from stomachache? He did something wrong or she did something wrong, somebody else. If you had positive thoughts, your destiny will be shaped positively. If you had negative thoughts, your destiny will be shaped negatively. I can't change the law, you can't change the law. So from this what we understand is, if I am suffering today, what am I supposed to do? If I am suffering today, what should I understand? I have definitely sowed negative seeds someday. Sometime in the past I must have. So it is just that fellow is an instrument sent by the totality. Whosoever it is. That fellow is an instrument sent by the totality. You are not suffering because of somebody else. You are blaming the symptom, never going to the cause. This is what Lord Krishna is saying here. What are you doing? Replacing that fellow with somebody else. But your problem doesn't get solved. Why? Because that negative thought continues. When the negative thought continues, you suffer. Biggest problem a lot of people have in Middle East who have lived for 30-40 years is they are not able to come back and live in India, adjust to this environment. You know, they've lived there for 30-40 years in the Middle East. But they are not getting the citizenship there either. So once their work permit is over, they have to vacate the place and go. So what do you do? So a lot of people migrate. Like Australia, New Zealand, Canada. Canada is something a lot of people want to go. And sometimes they are little doubtful, you know, whether they are taking the right step. And so they sometimes come and discuss. And they will give all sorts of reasons, right, why they want to migrate. Is there anything wrong to migrate? Nothing wrong. Birth migrate, everybody migrate. You must migrate. What is wrong? You understand? In fact, it's better. India is overpopulated. So in a way, I'm not being cynical or anything. It is a fact. But finally, even through the discussion, it comes out. You know, Canada, up to 12th, education is free. And medical facilities are free. End of the day, even through that discussion, you are kind of saying, you have chosen that place because it is free. Then I tell them, from what little I understood from the Gita, wherever you go to give, not to take. If you go to give, you will be peaceful. If you go to take, you will be agitated. It doesn't matter where you go. And if you are agitated here, because you have this attitude of taking, if you have changed the attitude to giving, then there probably may not be a reason for you to shift also. If at all you shift because you are so full, you are just shifting to give. I wandered lonely as a cloud, says the poem Daffodil. Listen. I wandered lonely as a cloud. Not wandering because this place is comfortable. I'm not attached to one place. I'm moving around. That's what it means, wandering means. I wandered. I'm lonely, not with a group. I may not be attached to a place but to a group. So wherever I go with that group. No. I'm not attached to group also. I'm not attached to a place or to people. I wandered lonely, but not without a purpose. I wandered lonely as a cloud. What does a cloud do? It gives what? Rain. In giving rain, it gives itself away. Cloud gives rain, and in giving rain, it gives itself away. So when you become paripurna, when you become full, the energy from within naturally flows out. You won't keep it for yourself. You are not moving around because you are unhappy at home. It's like You are not eating restaurant, you are not going, found in a restaurant to eat restaurant food because you are fed up of home food. Then it is wrong. Nothing wrong in eating restaurant food. Are you with me? But because you are fed up of home food, Turkey tried of common food, for soup, for ban and salt, the wood. Like that, all of us are fed up. Therefore we travel. Ramchitra did not travel because he got fed up. You understand? Vivekananda did not travel because he got fed up. No master ever travelled because he is fed up. Because he is paripurna. You mean? So when you have that attitude of giving, wherever you are, that becomes heaven. And then you would move around maybe. That is because the compassion. Not because of passion, but because of compassion. Then you will be giving. So that's what I tell people. This is what the Gita says. You go to Canada to give, not to take. You go to New Zealand to give, not to take. Wherever you go, you should be having that attitude of giving. Then you can never come to suffer. Now you can shift places, but with the attitude of taking, you will come to suffer. Nahi kalyana krit kaschit durgatim tata kaschit. You think we can be smart and cheat the law? Impossible. It will be like penny wise pound foolish. That is why he says, O Partha, neither here in the present nor even hereafter in the future is a destruction for him. Why? Somebody who is having faith in good, for him there is no suffering. Because even if you put him in hell, he will be happy. When Prahlada was put in, thrown into the ocean, he happily jumped. Hiranyakashipu was agitated. When Prahlada was administered poison, he happily drank it. He did not come to suffer. Suffering is not because of the place or people. Suffering is because of your inner nature. Somebody sent me this by email. One fellow, when he died, he was taken to God and God had to give him judgment. He said, "Hey, you have done some good action also, you have done some bad action also. So because of that, some days you have to spend in hell, some days you have to spend in heaven. But I'll give you the choice. What? Which one you want to go through first? Hell or heaven?" He said, "I don't know about hell or heaven, I only read in books. So I would like to visit both of them to come to this decision, which one I want to go through first." So he was taken to hell, and it was like one of the best places he ever visited. Right? Why do they call this hell? So the fellow who took him, he said, don't come to any conclusions now. Let us go to this palace where everybody is sitting to eat. On either side of the dining table, they are all seated to eat. All best of foods were served, they were all sitting, but they could not eat because their hands were all stretched out. Something had happened, so they could not bend their hands. So they could not eat. So everything was there, but they could not eat. Then he understood, oh, achha, this is hell. So everything is there, but they won't enjoy. So he said, let me go and see heaven. He went to heaven, that was also a beautiful place. He said, no, I want to go to the palace. There also he found same kind of arrangement, everything best was served. Their hands were also stretched out, but they were all eating very nicely. What he saw was, this fellow was feeding the opposite guy, the opposite fellow was feeding this guy. This is heaven. Nahi kalyana krit kaschit durgatim tata gachit. Mind in its own place can make a hell out of a heaven or a heaven out of a hell, said John Milton. John Milton says, mind in its own place can make a hell out of a heaven or heaven out of a hell. It has to do with your thoughts. The magic wand in your hand is thoughts. That is what the book Secret also says. Thoughts become things. Thoughts become destiny. Nobody works on their thoughts. Everybody wants to work on the outside. So Krishna says, a fellow who works on himself will never come to suffering. But if you work on the outside, you will come to suffering. But the problem is, in the inside, you don't see the result, the effect immediately. Therefore, you lose patience. A weak fellow is impatient. A strong fellow is patient. Because he knows how the law works. So when you read this verse, you go back home, you reflect on all those points, what John Milton said. Why is it that we are suffering? And I am suffering, I must ask this question. Immediately my mind will say, because of that fellow. Because of the weather. Because of my boss. Because of my spouse. Because of my children. Because of this or that. I must understand, I am suffering because somewhere I have developed negative. Therefore, I have got this experience. So if I want to change this, what should I do? I must change my thoughts. The moment I start doing that, instantly I will start seeing the result. Over a period of time, I will see that. All I did was just change my
prapya punya kritam lokan. प्राप्य पुण्यकृतान् लोकान् उषित्वा शाश्वती समाः उषित्वा शाश्वती समाः शुचीनां श्रीमतां गेहे शुचीनां श्रीमतां गेहे योगभ्रष्टो विजायते योगभ्रष्टो विजायते प्राप्य पुण्यकृतान् लोकान् उषित्वा शाश्वती समाः शुचीनां श्रीमतां गेहे योगभ्रष्टो विजायते. Having attained the worlds of the righteous, because he sowed the righteous seed, he attains the worlds of the righteous when he dies. And having dwelt there for eternal years, he who has fallen from yoga is born in the home of the pure and wealthy. So what he is saying is, when we do good action. I told you the highest Kalyanakrit is even doing the good action without ego. But sometimes what happens, you do the good action with ego. Desire propelled good activity. What does the desire propelled good activity do to you? What does the desire-propelled bad activity do to you? Where does it take you after you are dead, according to the scriptures?
Hell.
Now the opposite I am asking.
Heaven.
The desire-propelled good activity will take you to?
Heaven.
Now what does heaven mean? Temporary abode of pleasure. In fact, the most boring place. Believe me, if dukkha doesn't come and intervene in between, we'll start getting bored. Isn't it? You understand boredom? Everything is available. You don't know what to do. Because you have nothing to do. You get up, immediately they understand your mind. You're getting up for water. Water is there on your plate. Like that, supposing you are taken care of, you say, Baba, please leave me, I don't want to continue to live in this place. You will get bored. You understand? A fellow who doesn't know from where his next meal is going to come. He doesn't know what is boredom. Mind has nothing to do. So heaven is an abode where you go when you have done desired and good activity. You will go through the pleasures of heaven for a while, and then what happens to you? You will have to take birth again. That is why Vedanta says, don't even think about it. I spoke about this in the very first chapter itself when Arjuna said, Senayor Bhayor Madhye Ratam Stapayami Achyuta. Oh Krishna, take my chariot and place it in between both the armies. You got to stand in between good and bad and deliver. Don't get involved in good activities, because good activities also delay your progress. When you are going on a very important work to USA, you want to book a non-stop direct flight. And when you have booked yourself on a non-stop direct flight, you go to the airport, they say, we have overbooked, therefore we are giving some, compensation to be taken to heaven in between at our cost. Like 10 days you can stay, you'll be pampered in the best of the spas and all that, then you can go to USA. If you are focused on the goal, you say you keep all your heaven and everything, it's a distraction for me, I have to go there. Get thee behind me Satan, I will have nothing from thy hand, said Jesus Christ. It is a Satan for you, isn't it? Well, there may be so many more people interested in that. So good actions, when you do it, having got involved in that action, it will not make you suffer. It will take you to heaven. But from heaven also you have to come back to earth. That is why a sadhak is advised, even good action, don't do it desire propelled. Don't do unselfish action also with egoistic attitude. If you do desire propelled negative action, you will go to hell. You will suffer for a while and you will again have to take human birth. If you do desire and good activities, you will be taken to heaven. You will enjoy there for a while and then transported back to the earth. Who wants to go through all this? You want direct liberation. Not Krama Mukti, but Kaivalya Mukti. Krama Mukti means its stages. Kaivalya Mukti means direct. So he says, having attained the worlds of the righteous, supposing while you are doing your sadhana, in between you did some desired and good activity also. Therefore you collected some punya. That punya will take you to heaven. Having dwelt there for eternal years. Eternal years means? What does eternal year means what?
Lot of years.
Long time. But the long time also goes like this. If you enjoyed this class, 1 hour 15 minutes will go like this. Otherwise after 10 minutes you will be thinking, when this fellow is going to finish. But 10 minutes will look like some 10 jenmas. What? Never again I am going to come to this fellow's class. The 10 minutes will look like hell. But if you enjoyed that long time also go like this. So that eternal is not really eternal to you. You will fly off. Then what happened? He who has fallen from yoga is born in the home of pure and wealthy. People who have values and valuables will be born in such a family. That's what he's saying. You will be born in situations, environments. See, as per your demand supply, please understand. Nothing is given to you without you demanding it. Only thing is you have forgotten when you demand it. That's the problem. And when you demanded, obviously you demanded it out of ignorance. If you had knowledge, would you have demanded that? Obviously you demanded that because you were ignorant. Therefore, what do you have to do now? Gain knowledge. That's all matters. Nothing else matters. You did a wrong choice. Why? Out of ignorance. On a child's birthday, everybody is bringing gift. One lady brings a gift. On one hand, she has Kit Kat. On the other hand, she has a blank check. Fill it up, how much ever you want. Which one would a child go for? From behind, mother is saying, that's right. Blank check, lelo. Blank check, lelo. The child will go to Kit Kat only. The child is going to Kit Kat because he doesn't have the knowledge. Simple. When somebody is angry at you, if he was knowledgeable, will he be angry at you? Because when he is angry, he thinks he is destroying you. But what he doesn't understand is he is destroying himself. Similarly, when you are angry at somebody, you are also ignorant. If you have the knowledge, you can never be angry at them. Father, forgive them. They know not what they are doing. Because Jesus Christ was knowledgeable. They don't know what they are doing. They are thinking that they are crucifying me. They are chiseling their destiny. They don't understand. He has done enough suffering. It doesn't affect him at all. It's like Lilliputans trying to, tie Gulliver. They are thinking that they are tying Gulliver. It doesn't do anything to Gulliver. He was just having his sleep, you know. So got up and he just stretched his arm, put everything. That's what it is. In 3 days he came out because he knew this is no big deal. They are thinking that they are causing suffering to Jesus. Only fools will think like that. That's why he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they are doing. Out of ignorance they are doing it. Out of ignorance you do desired and good activity. Out of ignorance you do desired and negative activity. Out of knowledge you will never do any desired and activity. What has to be done, you do it and push off. That's it. You do not want to collect punya, you do not want to collect pap. Both punya and pap, according to you, will take you away from the self. Why should I do that? I don't want to collect. Whether I am chained by gold chain or I am chained by iron chain, it is jail. I am chained. But your ego gets satisfied. I am chained by gold. Mine is a gold chain. So what difference does it make? You are chained. Arrest is arrest. Whether it is house arrest or whatever arrest it is. Isn't it? Your movements are restricted. So he says, having attained to the worlds of the righteous and having dwelt there for the eternal period, he who has fallen from yoga is born in the home of pure and wealthy. Meaning, because he strives and struggles, he is given a conducive environment for him to continue his sadhana. Because the fellow did some punya activities, he is born in a righteous family with some wealth also. So some comfort is also there, but at the same time, they have values. So when you have to write here, home of pure and wealthy means that which has values and valuables. And next is this. One more verse. Atava yogina meva. Atava yogina meva. Kule bhavati dhimatam. Kule bhavati dhimatam. Etat didurlabhataram. Etat didurlabhataram. Loke janma yadidrisham. Loke janma yadidrisham. Atava yogina meva. kule bhavati dhimatam ketad didurlabataram loke janma yadi drisham.
Or is he born in the family of the wise yogis only? That family which has only values, not so much of valuable, because you are, meaning you are born in sage's family, son of a sage or something like that. What he is saying is, you did not do desiring good activity, you only did good activity without ego. But you still have lots of vasanas to be eradicated before that you die. Such a person will be born in an environment where he finds himself amidst lot of rishis. Either amongst rishis or raja rishis. Understand? Verily, a birth such as this is very difficult to obtain in this world. Ye taddi durlabataram. He says, being born in a family which has values is durlaba. Such a birth is very difficult to obtain. Very difficult to obtain means you must have definitely reserved the seat there through your actions, otherwise you won't get it. Having got it, don't waste it. You are born here in this room now because you have vasana to study Vedanta, to study Gita. Otherwise you will not be born here. Isn't it? You have that vasana, therefore you are born here. Demand and supply. You are born in an environment because you had vasana for that environment. So if you continue putting in effort in that direction, even if you physically die, you will be born in the environment which has values, which will be conducive for you to continue your sadhana. Let's conclude.
Om Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamiva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Karomi adya sakalam parasmai
narayanayeti samarpayami.